Okay, let's open your Bibles, if you will, to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, we'll look this morning in verses 1 through 4. As I've been doing for a while now, please remember to tune in on Wednesday nights at 6:30. We're live streaming that. We're looking at a couple of chapters normally on our journey through the book of Acts, and then on Sunday morning, a smaller passage within what we've looked at on Wednesday. So we looked at chapters 12 and 13 on Wednesday night. We're looking at these four verses this morning. And it's all about sending out, God sending us out, God sending Barnabas and Saul, or also called Paul, out to reach the Gentile nations. So in chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." Verse 4 says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." So I see this passage where God is moving and stirring as they serve the Lord, as they were ministering to the Lord, the Bible says, and somehow or another there was a word that came to them, perhaps a prophecy from one of those individuals, that it was God calling Barnabas and Saul for the work, this plan that he had called them to be. So we're going to look at this whole idea of sending out. I want to try to do the best I can this morning as you look at this passage to tie in what happened to Barnabas and Saul to you and to I. Because I believe that God has called each one of us to go to whatever plan, whatever work, whatever ministry or ministries. I also know that there's times that God moves us to different ministries or different situations as we just continue to follow Jesus. We're not stationary because he's not stationary. And I see in this passage God moving in the lives of these two individuals and indeed the entire church. I want to point out there that basically three different trips that Paul makes during his missionaries' journeys into the Gentile nations. And every time at the end of one of those trips, he comes back to the church of Antioch. So the church of Antioch was basically his sending church. It was his home church. It was where he was called by God to become an apostle and be set apart as an apostle, as was Barnabas. These were both apostles, both individuals sent out. Later on, if you look at the passages when he's going out, the Bible uses twice the statement, "When the apostles," plural, "Barnabas and Paul," or Saul. And then he goes on to say what they did. So it's using the phrase, "the apostles," both of these individuals, because there are many apostles, not just the 12. The word apostle means someone that's sent out. And of course, I believe, as we look at the passage and what they did, what God did in and through their lives, and really the church itself. As we look at Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers, we notice that these apostles, the Bible says in that passage in Ephesians, that these ministries will be there and operative in the church until the perfecting of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith. And I believe that's referring to the end of the age as the church continues to prosper and grow and move through this world in the ages. So apostles are current with us today, and I believe they're simply missionaries. Individuals sent out by the Holy Spirit, if they're really called, into different areas to do whatever they're called to do. Some people look at apostles as individuals who plant churches. But I would submit to you that's really not biblical. They're just simply individuals sent out. The fruit of them being sent out is churches were planted. But whether a church was planted or not, they were sent out by the Lord to minister as he called them. Not everybody's sent out for the same purpose. There's different reasonings for people being sent out as apostles. And so it's not necessarily just planting churches. The Bible never teaches that. As we look at the lives of these individuals, we see them moving through the Gentile areas and God working. So we're going to look at this whole idea of sending, and I hope that it applies to you in a personal way. So look, first of all, in our passage, verse 1, that ministry originates in and through the church. And again, the title of this message, incidentally, is sending out, or sending out, God sending out these people. So verse 1 now, it says, in the church that was at Antioch. Let me just stop right there for a minute. That simply tells us that God has ordained the organism, the institution, the only one that he's really birthed and protected, the church itself, through which and by which he sends individuals out. Unfortunately, today there are a lot of individuals who are working separate from and apart from the church. And I would submit to you that's not biblical. As a matter of fact, any ministry that anybody does is a part of the church at large. And we're all a part of the church. Every individual is a part of the church, and we are to recognize that that's the organism by which God moves. The point being is, again, there are many individuals who have sort of rejected the local church and worked apart from the local church. Certainly, there are errors within churches or problems. Nevertheless, as we look at what the Bible says, as we look at the book of Acts, of course, that is our pattern for the church. We see this church at Antioch was the one that God used to send out Paul and Barnabas into these Gentile areas to preach the word. The point being is this: the way God has ordained, God's chosen that. And of course, the church is to recognize that. So I want to point that out. Ministry originates within the context of the local church. God stirs hearts. Part of that is for a number of reasons. First of all, we are all to be accountable. And accountable, not, of course, we all to the Lord, but to other people. There are individuals that God has us accountable to. We think about the ministry of elders. I personally am accountable to the board of elders. I'm also accountable to every believer in our fellowship. Every believer has a responsibility to make sure that what I'm teaching is from the Bible so that we're all accountable to one another. Unfortunately, there are individuals who do not want any accountability, and that's why oftentimes they break away from the local church, and oftentimes there's an independent spirit within them that doesn't want to be subjected to the local church. The point being is that all of us, God has called all of us to be subject, as the Bible says, we are subject one to another. There's a personal responsibility. That's part of the ministry of the body. The same way our body works, we're all connected to one another. The hand can't say to the rest of the body, I don't need you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And so we look at this statement, this initial statement by the Holy Spirit, as Luke is writing this in the 13th chapter, and he says, now in the church. We have to remember that. We have to say, what is that all about? What is God saying about that? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And of course, that means the statement in the church. Then it says that there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, or I would say preachers and teachers. I mentioned that on Wednesday night, a prophet is simply someone who's forth-telling the word of God. There's a prophet that is preaching the word. There's other teachers teaching the word. And here's who they were: Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So these were the individuals that God was using in the church of Antioch to teach and preach his word. God had poured out his spirit in Antioch. There had been, and this was all in Antioch in Pisidia. And there was been, we'll see this later on, and many people were saved. And so as a result of this church at Antioch, they went out to Antioch and Pisidia. We'll see that again as I mentioned this chapter, different Antioch. But the point is, there were these people that were teaching and preaching the word of God in this local church. So let me say this, that Paul and Barnabas were currently being used in the church, ministering the word. And what we're seeing here is God really intervening. If you think about what is a call, we can go back to the time that God called Moses or God called Jeremiah. Every time we see God coming to a situation and calling a person, even in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he went for John or Peter and called them, it's always an interruption, if you will. A call of God, it is an interruption from the status quo. God's trying to move them and stir them to something that they're not doing, even though they were currently ministering. It was a whole different ministry that God was calling them to, and that was, of course, from the church at Antioch. And then in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. So now the Holy Spirit now is speaking through this. God's going to call these individuals, and God's using this time. As it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. I want to point out that's very, very important. That ministry ultimately always originates from my personal relationship with God. The focus is not ministry for ministry's sake. This ministry they're being called to is the fruit of their ministry to the Lord, their relationship with Christ. Remember when Peter, in our study of the book of Acts, Peter had gone up to the house, the rooftop, to pray, waiting for lunch to be prepared. And the Bible says he's praying. And as he's praying, he saw this vision, or as he's in fellowship with God. We just read about a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, and he was a very devout man. The Bible says he prayed all the time. He had done many good works. And the Holy Spirit called him about the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What was he doing? He was praying. The ninth hour was a time of prayer. So already what we're seeing in Peter, and we see that in Cornelius, and now we see that in these men, and particularly in Paul and Barnabas, as they minister to the Lord. So this idea of being called or stirred to ministry does not happen in a vacuum. It comes out of my relationship with the Lord. It is a part of that. It is the fruit of that. It is a response to that. It is God in my pursuit of Christ, in my desire to know Him. And that gets back to our personal devotional life, our time of prayer, our time in the Word. Not just on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a community group, but in my personal relationship and my fellowship with the Lord. That's what it's all about. God's the one that's in charge of that. This thing comes from God, originates from God, and it comes out of this idea of me ministering to the Lord, me serving the Lord. What were they doing? They were praying, they were fasting, they were worshiping. They were telling God how wonderful He is and how awesome He is, and they were praying for the church and the different things going on in the church. They were ministering to the Lord. Have you ever thought about when you worship, you're ministering to Him? When you join together with Him and pray and intercede, you're ministering to Him? The Bible says we're to enter His courts with thanksgiving, His gates with praise. Or His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. We are to minister and bless Him. And that's ministering to Him. And the point I'm making again is this is the idea here. It's not that, okay, I'm trying to find some ministry in my life. No, that's not what this is about. What this is about is me seeking God, me ministering to the Lord, me drawing near to the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him and telling Him how great He is and how awesome He is. Just like this morning, we're gathered around the Word of God. What is our purpose? We want to know what God has to say to us. We want to bless Him by drawing near to Him and listening. Thinking about it like this, you and I are gathered together this morning as a church. We're connecting over the internet in order to hear the Word of God. Who knows what God will say? Who knows what God's going to do? But our goal is just to draw near to Him and honor Him out of obedience. And that's what these men were doing as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. What a statement. We think about God ministering to us. We think about doing stuff for Him or whatever. This is so different. It's very different. We want to minister to Christ. We want to serve the Lord. We want to be there to encourage Him and pray and intercede with Him and to be available to Him whatever He wants. That ministers to Him. I don't know if you look at your devotional time as ministering to the Lord. But it's not, we just don't come in prayer to get things from God. We're not about just give me this and give me that and do this for me. We're about honoring Him and serving Him and ministering to Him and doing what He wants us to do. That's what the whole idea in the passage. This idea of ministry springs out of our devotional life. And also ministry is the fruit of our relationship with Jesus. Think about what I'm saying. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus mentioned, I'm the vine, you're the branches. God's plan, the Bible says, I've ordained that you should bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. What is that but ministry? As we minister, because of this relationship, we're abiding in the vine. And out of that abiding in the vine, the result is fruit. And that fruit is in the changed lives of people or even individuals who are affected by what we're doing as we minister. So ministry is born out of my relationship with Jesus. So if I don't have a relationship or if my relationship is weak, that's why I pointed out with Peter and Cornelius, and now we're seeing these men as they're gathered, the fruit of that is God begins to stir and move. If you want God to move in your life, if you want God to stir in your heart, if you want God to open other areas or doors of ministry, just pursue Him. Just be close to Him. He will speak. He will guide and direct our lives. And that's what this is all about. God sending us out. That's the title of the message. God sending us out, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. How does he do that? He does that as I pursue Christ, as I draw near to the Lord. And we can go out through the Bible and see all the people God used were individuals that were close to God. These things didn't happen in a vacuum. God didn't call them apart from their relationship with him. It was because of, or in the context of their relationship with him, that ministry begins to happen. It's the result of it. So often in my life, I've had people come and told me that they were called into the ministry. I felt they were called. And of course, one of my first responses is, tell me about your devotional life. Do you pray? Do you read the word? What is your devotional life like? Do you fast? Do you seek the Lord? Are you involved in ministry already? And it's been amazing to me how many times people have come and they don't have much of a devotional life or don't have much of a spiritual life. And I'm simply saying the Bible's teaching us, showing us that ministry is born out of or the fruit of my relationship with Jesus, a very important point in Scripture. I also want to point out something else. And of course, this is born out through all of Scripture. And that is this, that ministry, God calling Barnabas and Saul to be sent out by the church of Antioch was a ministry or a call really to follow Jesus. Not only do we know him and draw near to him in our personal devotional life, but when he calls us, he's actually calling us just to follow him. Think about what I'm saying. You and I as believers are called by him as every believer is, just simply to follow Jesus, to do what he asks us to do, to be obedient servants. And it's pretty simple if you think about it. All we're supposed to do is what he tells us to do. That's all we're supposed to do. Now, that can be hard. We get things very complicated sometimes. But the Bible tells us very clearly that what we're ultimately supposed to do is simply follow Jesus. So as God came to Jeremiah, what did God say to Jeremiah? Jeremiah was arguing about God, or Moses was arguing about God, with God. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. I'm of slow speech, and my lips. I got a slow tongue. I'm not a good speaker. And what did God say to Jeremiah, to Moses, to these guys, to Peter and John? I will be with you. I will be with you. It gets right at the heart of everything. It gets right at the core of who I am. Do I want to follow Jesus or do I not? Do I want to hang out with Jesus? Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Follow me and what? I will make you fishers of men. That following me, just follow me, and the result of that, in other words, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bear fruit. You'll ask what you will, and God will give it to you. God's going to bear fruit. But remember that the fruit, the actual result of my ministry is the result of being with Jesus. Because ultimately, if you think about it in a logical context, all ministry, real ministry, true ministry, is done by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things done today by organization and by the money and by people's schemes. But is it real ministry? I would submit to you that unless the Lord really does it, it's not real ministry. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain, the Bible says. So if we think about it that in that context, ministry is the fruit of me following Jesus. What is God saying in our context of the 13th chapter of Acts to these men, and particularly to Saul and Barnabas? He's ultimately saying, just follow me. In other words, guys, I'm heading out. I'm heading out to the Gentile nations. I want you to go with me. I want you to be the instruments that I've chosen to use. But I'm the one that's ultimately doing the ministry. You are just the tools that God's using. Because really, ministry itself is the Lord working through you and I. And there's no ministry apart from him if it's real ministry. This is so important. There's a lot of things, I believe, that will collapse on the day of judgment. There's a lot of things, a lot of works that will be burned up because it originated in the heart of man. It was carried out by the will of man, by the power and scheming of man. It may look impressive to people. But the real question is it the Holy Spirit moving? Is it God working? And I'm saying to you again, this is the word of God. This is what the Bible teaches, that real ministry is the fruit of or the result of God working through an individual to accomplish his ultimate purpose, or it's not ministry. Looks can be deceiving. Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Well, how do you judge righteous judgment? You always examine things by the word. Or another way to say all of this is, how much of Jesus is in it? And how much of us are in it? The point is, in order for me to go, I've got to die to myself. Less of me, more of him. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. So the more of Jesus, the more that I'm yielded, the more that I'm in lining my life up to his will, the better off the ministry itself is going to be. Because it may not impress people. Because maybe it's not impressive to people. But it might bless the Lord because it's him doing it. Whether it's big or small, it doesn't make any difference. My only responsibility, your only responsibility is to follow Jesus. And this is the context of our study here. This call to follow Jesus, to go. I also want to point out that ministry is God originated. I want to want you to look at this passage in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So the first implication is, okay, the church is the sending organism. That's true. They sent them away. But verse 4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is God that originates real ministry. Or in the context of examples, it was God that came to Moses. It was God that came to Elijah. It was God that came to Jeremiah. It was God that came to Peter. It was God that came to John. It was God that came to Paul. It was God that came down in this meeting and spoke. Ministry always originates from God. I remember a long time ago someone saying, well, I want to be a pastor because my parents always said that would be a good idea for me. We're not man called, we're God called. We respond to the Lord. Here's the point again. God is calling us. God's calling you. What is God saying to you? What is God wanting from you? I think in our context, first of all, he wants us to draw near to him and minister to him. I want to point out these individuals are involved in ministry. They are, what does it say in verse 1? Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Who were these individuals? Well, Paul and Barnabas were two of them. They were already involved in ministry. They were already involved in preaching and teaching the word. And again, the point is, we're just following Jesus. But this whole call of God, this whole sending out is God originated. It's not like the church sits down and has a strategy session. How can we do this? How can we accomplish our goals and our plans? That's not the way it works. It is God that originates and ultimately says to you and I, just follow me, go, and I'll be with you. I'll tell you, that's what he said to Moses. That's what he said to Jeremiah, go, and I will teach you what to say. I will tell you what to say. I'll be with you. So as we obey the Lord and yield to the Lord, really in some ways not even knowing what this means, except maybe in a small way, I don't think Barnabas and Saul really understood the concept in some ways, although I will say, when Paul was saved, in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says when God sent Ananias to him, I think it was, Ananias, to speak to him when he was blinded, he says, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer. So apparently in the very beginning of Paul's conversion, in the very first few days, God was speaking to him about, look, you're going to suffer for me. And maybe he knew that. Maybe he understood that. But also he was waiting on the Lord to do this. And my point is, again, God originates the call. God's always the one that initiates the call. God's the sending individual through the local church. He moves through the local church to do that. And this is what we see in the context of our study. I also want to point out in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now. Okay, look at that. Now. There's a timing for everything. I believe in some ways this desire for this kind of ministry was more than likely already on their heart. Remember, it was Saul and Barnabas that they had sent down with the money from them, Antioch, down to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, in chapter 11, verse 25, look in verse 25 of chapter 12. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets, chapter 12, verse 25. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they went down to Jerusalem. They were already ministering. The point being is this, when God initiates this call, it's not like it's in a vacuum. We are already serving the Lord. We're already doing what God wants. We're already ministering. So we're serving. And so often when God shuts down a door of ministry, sometimes he's testing us. Sometimes he's wanting to know, what is our response? Is this all about me? Or is it about God? Am I already serving? Am I already ministering? I've known over the years people who wanted to minister but weren't currently ministering. They wanted a position, or they wanted a title, but they weren't serving. They weren't volunteering. They weren't doing anything. And the point being is that there's oftentimes people that just want this position or this title or to do something, but they're not willing to take whatever the baby steps are that God wants in our lives. And I would submit to you that in our journey through the book of Acts, we've already seen Barnabas and Saul being willing to go down to Jerusalem as people sent from the church of Antioch. But all of a sudden, here comes this statement from the Holy Spirit, now. Now. I also want you to notice in verse 2, the next statement. He says, separate to me. Look at that. That sort of affirms what I said earlier. This separating it to me, come to me, join with me. So God is the one that does all this. He's the one that originates the call. It is a call to from God, come closer. It's almost like, okay, look, guys, we got a special task here. Now is the time. Now separate to me. So whatever you're doing, I want you to separate to me these two guys. Well, weren't they already separated to the Lord? Weren't they already his? The answer, of course they were. But as we look at what God is saying here, there's a particular separating to him for a purpose. And I believe, again, that the whole call to this is not a call for the actual ministry itself, but a call to be with the Lord. It's a call to Jesus. You and I need to follow the Lord. Sometimes following him is very difficult and challenging. We sometimes get comfortable in our circumstances, in our situation. Even in an uncomfortable situation, we still get used to it. The idea of following him and doing something different can be very uncomfortable, can be very scary in a way. We've never done this. We don't know all this. But I want to point out in our study of this chapter, this verse 2, he says, now separate to me. So he's calling you and I to separate. He originates this call. It's not because I got this idea. What do you say we go out and start doing this stuff? No, that's not what it's all about. It's about me separating myself to him in response. I'm responding to him, drawing near to him. That's what this is all about. It's a call to follow Jesus. It originates from him. They didn't think about it. So let God work. But please remember, this call, this thrusting out, if you will, by the Holy Spirit, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, is a result of intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. So the question I would ask you is, are there things hindering you from being close to the Lord? Are there things that are in your way? Is God calling you? Is God speaking to you about doing something or moving out, getting closer to him and following him? And by doing that, by separating to me these two guys, they had to separate from the prophets and teachers and the church of Antioch to some extent, even though that was their home church And they came back three separate occasions to report on what God had done through their ministries. It can be a challenging thing. It can be difficult to separate. And I think the whole idea of separate to me, this separation is not a separation from as much as a separate to me. So that's what he's saying. It originates from God himself. Very interesting. And of course, it's a response to the Lord. And I want to point out, and again, another thing that's pointed out in our study. Look in chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. And this gets back to my point earlier that ministry springs out of ministry. In other words, if you're faithful in little things, God will make you faithful over much. If you're doing the small steps, if you're being obedient in the small. And here's the deal. It's these small things that are so important to us because they show our character. They show our hearts. If we're not faithful in the little things, but we want to be faithful over the big, it just shows that our heart is really not a heart of being faithful because in those little things, nobody notices. But in the big things, people notice that. But I think it's in the little things that we're really tested. And my point is, I've already said that ministry springs out of ministry. Usefulness springs out of little usefulness. If we're faithful in the small things, if we're obedient in the tiny things, then God knows that we'll be faithful in the bigger things. If we're not faithful in the small things, then God knows our heart. And perhaps we're not faithful in the little things because no one notices, no one really sees that. And that just shows that our heart is, if someone is not noticing, I'm not going to do it. I want people to notice. So oftentimes, unfortunately, in a carnal way, people doing things for the Lord can be a result of, I want people to notice me or thinking I'm spiritual. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees who said when they pray, they stand on the street corners so that that people can see them pray. When they fast, they disfigure their faces so that they appear to men to fast. But Jesus said, when you fast, fast in secret. When you pray, pray in secret. And it gets back to my point is these men were already ministering. Think about it. They didn't need another ministry. They were prophets and teachers in Antioch. They were already being used by God in Antioch. But they were being faithful to do that. How do we know that? Well, they were doing that. But first of all, in our study here, they're also ministering to the Lord. They were drawn near and fasting and praying. They were godly people who loved the Lord and were praying for the church and praying for the word and praying for the people that were coming to Christ and praying for the officials or people in Antioch, praying for the church of Jerusalem, praying that God would spread his word. Who knows but this call from God to Paul and Barnabas to go out was not a direct result of maybe what they were praying. Lord, send out your word to the Gentiles. Okay, go. You know, that oftentimes is how God works. He gives us a burden. He gives us an idea. He puts it in our hearts. Ministry springs out of ministry. Remember that. So the question is, are you ministering? Are you serving? Are you volunteering? Are you doing things? And if not, why not? Let me encourage you. Be faithful. Be diligent. We've talked about the fact that even in our isolation because of the coronavirus, we still need to minister. We still need to send out the gospel and share with unbelievers, maybe through the internet, maybe through your Facebook, maybe through sending that evangelistic message that's at our website to lost souls. Maybe sending a person a card. The needs are still there. The people are still hurting. We do have the prayer chain. When you have those prayer chain things come through, do you pray? Are you ministering? What about in your personal life? Are you spending time with the Lord in the word and in prayer? Are you talking to him? Are you pursuing him? Are you being faithful in the little things? And that's the point I want to make, this whole idea of ministering. So in chapter 11, chapter 12, I want to point out again, in chapter 11, it was when they were sent out, they realized there was a need. Look in chapter 11, verse 27. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. That's my point earlier. So in chapter 12, verse 25, is when they returned from their journey. They were just serving. There was a need. Just do the little things. Or let me rephrase that. Instead of driving by somebody with a flat tire and saying, Lord, should I help? Why don't I have a natural response, let me help that individual, unless God says no. And I know it's a challenging time today. We have to be very careful in our world today. But the point is, we need to have a propensity just to serve and just to minister to people. Not because we get anything out of it, but simply because that other person has a need. That's what Jesus did for us. So ministry springs out of ministry. Ministry originates from ministry. They were not only ministering to the Lord and fasting in our study here, but they were also ministering to the church by preaching and teaching the word. They were also ministering to the church of Jerusalem by not only getting money and organizing money in some ways, but also Paul and Barnabas had sent it down to that church to help them out. They saw a need. They heard about a need. God had spoken a word of knowledge about a famine. And they responded by wanting to help. That's the point I'm trying to make. So if you want God to use you, are you currently being used? Are you ministering, serving the Lord as he guides us? And let me say this again. One of the great blessings is God speaking to us. What is God saying in this coronavirus? What is God doing in this virus? What is God saying to us personally, as a church, as individuals? That's one of my main prayers. Lord, I want to hear what you're saying to us. I want to know what your will is. Is there anything that you want us to do? I do believe we need to be better able to use the technology God's given us to get the word of God out. But I also am saying, Lord, what else is going on? People are open, I think, because of the fear of death, the realization that we're mortal and these kinds of things can come suddenly. Our whole world can change just like that. Just think how rapidly things have shut down. The greatest economy in the history of the world shut down in a matter of a week. It's an amazing thing. It's an astonishing thing. The result of that in so many lives is astonishing. And I'm convinced, for whatever purpose, God's in charge of all that. God knows what he's doing. There's a reason for all that. Not only is it a reason in the hearts and lives of unbelievers, I think God is stirring their hearts. But God wants us as believers to hear what he's saying. That comes out of relationship, out of fellowship. So here's my point. What is God saying to you? Is God speaking to you as a husband or as a wife or as a family? Is God calling you, now separate unto me? And put your name in there. Is the Holy Spirit saying now? Now's the time. Now's the Spirit stirring. Separate to me. Get alone with me. Be with me. Follow me. What is he saying to you? I believe personally that God's always speaking. We sometimes just aren't tuned in. And I think that's where this whole prayer, seeking, fellowship, ministering to him is all about. Tuning into what God is saying. It can be hard. Sometimes God is saying things that we really don't want to hear because we're afraid of what that really means. I think in the lives of Barnabas and Saul, they were probably like, let's go out and see what God's going to do. But think about it, as we look at the book of Acts, the rest of the book of Acts pretty much is a result of them going out from the church of Antioch. It's an amazing account of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a revival, simply because God spoke to these men in this chapter and they obeyed the Lord and God worked. In the same way, if God's speaking to you, just trust him. Just rely upon him. This call is not to be all by yourself. It is a call to be with him. He will guide and direct the nuances, the specifics, where exactly to go, what to do, what to say, all the details. He'll take care of all that. He just wants obedience. Sometimes he doesn't tell us the details because he wants to know, will you follow me? Because I'm asking you to follow me. Do we really have to understand all the details? Or we just want to say, our goal is just to be with you, just to hang out with you. Sometimes by separating from others, as in this passage, that enables us, and it enabled Barnabas and Saul to be more with him than they'd ever been. So let me challenge you this morning, please. Listen to the Lord. Pray. Seek the face of God. Let God send us out as a church or as individuals or stir our hearts within the context of ministry within the church, outside the church, whatever God's doing in other families. There may be ideas that you never thought about that He has that God wants you to do. Are you yielded to Him? Are you saying, here am I, send me? That's what Isaiah said, the sixth chapter. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, His train filling the temple. And what did Isaiah said? Here am I, send me. That should always be our cry. Lord, use me. If you're going to use somebody, use me. There's nothing more joyful and exciting than God just being with us and us being with Him and seeing God work. Can the worship team please come up and we'll close? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You this morning as we close our study because You are God Almighty. I know that You're speaking to us. I know that You're speaking to our nation about repenting and turning to You. That You are God Almighty. That You're strong and powerful and You can do anything. That You resist the proud and arrogant, but You give grace to the humble. And I pray in some ways, as we consider our study this morning, we would humble ourselves and we would minister to You and serve You and be open and listen to You. But in our hearts, the great desire would be to be with You and obey You. Lord, we just want to do and be what You want us to do and be. And help us to remember that all comes from just hanging out with Jesus. Just being with You. That really it was You that moved from the church of Antioch into other areas of the Gentile nation. And that was very evident by the things that You did. You went before these men. And when they opened their mouths and began to preach, You moved in the hearts of the cities and the people. And many were saved. And those that weren't saved, they at least heard the truth and will be held accountable to it. And who knows that down the road they didn't come to know You. And I pray in the same way that we would understand that a call to separate to You is a call to be with You and to watch You work. Father, help us to be willing. Help us to say yes. Help us to realize as we read this the fourth verse, and they being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that this was not a man-centered sending out. It was God-centered. It was You that sent them out. Certainly the church was a part of the process because that's Your plan. But it was You that did it. And I pray in what we do as a church, You would refine and make sure that all that we're doing is only what You want us to do. That we're not leaving anything undone, but we're also not doing things that You don't want. So, Lord, I and we as a church submit all that into Your hands. We just want to be with You. We want to separate, as it were, from the world, from flesh, from self. Now separate to Me. We don't want to put it off and wait. So may we respond when the Spirit stirs our hearts. And we thank You for the privilege and honor of being with You in this world, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May God richly bless you. Let me encourage you and challenge you. If you feel like God's stirring your heart, say yes. Just confirm that. Ask in a family setting. Maybe God's stirring your family to do something ministry-oriented. Say, let's talk about this. Let's discuss this as if God's calling a family. In the same way, I'm sure that Saul and Barnabas got together and said, hey, this is exciting. What is God doing? Where are we going? Let's pray and seek the face of God. As we're being sent out, now we need to ask the Lord what He wants us to do. In the same way, let me challenge you. If God's stirring your heart, God's going to confirm that through other people in the same way. May God bless you. Enjoy this worship song.